So this might be hard for me too. When you're friends with the parents' kids for 18 years, you get to know the parents, right? And so everything is emotional. I wished I had done this sooner. These were some of the last words spoken to myself by Stuart Sr. on Friday, March 1st, as he lay in his bed at the Foothills Hospice. Little did I know at the time that these would be the last intelligible words I'd ever hear him speak again, as he lost his ability to communicate only a few days later. So what was it that Stuart wished he had done sooner? In order to begin to answer that question, because that thing that he did gave him a lot of peace. To answer that, I want to read to you from the disciples' account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus as they led him away to be crucified. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Two other men, both criminals, were also led up by Jesus to be executed. When they arrived at the place called the skull, they crucified Jesus along with two others, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It was 9 a.m. The people stood watching. The religious leaders sneered at him and the soldiers mocked him. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And the criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Jesus answered and said, "Truly, I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness fell over the whole land until 3 p.m. At this time, Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and breathed his last. What Stuart wished that he'd done sooner, which became a reality 2 weeks prior to those words he spoke to me, was follow in the footsteps of the penitent criminal on the cross who gave his life to Jesus Christ. Because it was such an important moment for Stu, I want to share with you the events leading up to that day. Stuart passed away on March 8th, but 1 month prior to that day, Huckles, as you've heard him called, and I went over to Stu Sr.'s house to have a chat. It was clear in the conversation that Stuart Sr. knew he only had a few days to live at best, if not a few weeks at best, if not only a few days. Knowing his death was imminent, we asked him a question. There was lots of small talk in the beginning, but we cut to the heart of the matter. We said to him, "Stuart, if you were to die today and you were God, would you accept yourself into his presence based on the life that you've lived? So you're God and you meet him, would you accept yourself?" Stuart looked at both of us and said, "No. No." One thing I learned about Stuart as I got to know him more and more as the years went on was he did have a true understanding of the things that he had done and the wrong he had done, and the guilt and the remorse that he had over many of those things. But in this way, by the fact that he said no, he was at the same understanding of the criminal hanging there who came to Jesus' defense. See, he, like the criminal, knew there was a reason to fear God. The life he lived would have left him judged according to his own words and not forgiven. And so no hope of life after death, but Stuart believed in life after death. That made us clear as well in his conversation as well. Huckles and I agreed with him. You know, Stu and Dad, that is true. God wouldn't accept you based on the way life has been. But he wouldn't have accepted Huckles or myself either. Apart from the offer of forgiveness that Christ offered Stuart Jr. and I, we'd be in the same boat as Stuart Sr. We always talk about this, and those in the church that come to us are sick of me using the same analogy over and over and over again. But I can tell you this, I might look like a holy man standing up here right now, but let me say this to you. If I had to put my life on a DVD from the age of 10 until my late 20s, and put it on this movie screen, I would not hit play for you to see it. And I would suggest that neither would any of you. Every thought, every deed put on a movie screen for us to watch here and here today, I don't think any of us would hit that button. Stewart had a really good sense of awareness of where he was at. And we shared with him that apart from Jesus Christ, there'll be no forgiveness found in you, for you. And that your reason to fear God is just. So we shared with him the reality that he could be forgiven. But Stewart wanted to think about it. He wasn't ready to make that commitment. And I learned why. He had so much shame and guilt over the things that he had done. He just didn't think he was forgivable. This was on February 8th. A week later, February 16th, Stuart's now in High River Hospital. Huckles and I go for another visit. There's lots of small talk to see how things are going and how the transition was. Ask if he's got a place prepared for the hospice to come. At that time, he hadn't. But eventually, conversation transitioned one more time into the thoughts about our conversation the week prior. And so we said, Stuart, did you think about what Huckles and I said? And he said, yep, I have. And he said, so where are you at? He goes, I'm ready now to receive what Jesus has to offer. But he was honest. He says, I don't know how. And so we told him, like the criminal on the cross, admit before God that you lived an unjust life. The criminal said, don't you fear God since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. The criminal on the cross knew darn well that they would not have a chance of receiving eternal life based on the way they lived. Stuart was very much in the same place. So we just told him, all you have to do is admit before God that you lived an unjust life and confess the sins to him that you are regretful for. And recognize that he is the only one that can forgive you and take care of the fear of meeting God and the guilt that you carry. And so we instructed him to pray, to reveal to God all the stuff he was ashamed about and confess things one by one. Normally, when I've been a part of people's lives in this process, they usually confess with me. But Stuart was really hesitant, and I could see that in him, and so could Huckles. And I had this thought. I was like, I bet you he's terrified to say anything in front of us, but especially Stuart Jr., because he's his son. And he won't want his son to hear the things that he's done. So I looked at Stuart and I said, is there a reason why you're afraid in this moment? It's because of the relationship with your boy. And he said, yes. I said, well, you know what? You don't need us to talk to God directly. We'll leave the room and we'll give you as much time as you need. So Stuart and I, Huckles and I, we left the place and left him. And he had his head bowed between his knees for at least 10 to 15 minutes. And I kept checking on him to see where he was at, and his eyes were closed, and he was praying for 10 to 15 minutes. He confessed the things that he'd done wrong, for the way that he'd hurt many of you in here. Not too long after this, Stuart moved to the Foothills Hospice, where eventually he passed. It was 2 weeks later, on March 1st, where I heard now Stuart say, I wish I had done this sooner. So what was going on in Stuart's life that made receiving Christ so important? Because of the huge changes that he experienced in the last 2 weeks of his life. For the first time, he told me that he didn't carry the same guilt and shame of the past that he once had. That while he was still remorseful for what happened, he didn't have the same weight on his chest anymore. That he had peace like he'd never experienced for as long as he could remember. and that there was joy knowing that there was a future hope beyond this world. He didn't have to fear God anymore, and he knew he was going to meet his Maker on good terms. Of course, this was something that Shelley had done 6 years prior, largely in part to the faithfulness of Huckles and his continued conversations with his mother. We saw some cool things happen in Shelley's life. We saw her radiance and countenance change. It was mentioned that her eyes were big and beautiful and bright, and so was her skin. She immediately changed in her face and in her demeanor upon being forgiven herself. She had this massive hunger to learn. She asked me every week for my sermon notes, and she did right up to the last Sunday she was with us. And I miss her because nobody else asks me for them and hasn't since. That must say a lot for my preaching. But Shelley was the only one who faithfully asked and never missed a beat. She had a hunger to learn. And she had a massive concern for her family, and especially her husband. And she would tell me for the 6 years that she knew Christ herself, she'd always be telling me, "Andrew, I care so much about Stuart and his destiny, and who he is and where he's at." And so she was a faithful prayer warrior for her husband. Whenever I talked to her privately, she would always bring that up in conversation, a deep concern for him. The one thing we saw in Shelley was a life characterized by hope. That's really important because we all know how much she suffered with health and different struggles. But she never had a crushed spirit and never gave up. Whenever I'd speak to her, she would often tell me because of the security she had in Christ and that guaranteed hope, she was ready to go anytime. When she had cancer years before, she was extremely fearful of dying. But she said, "Whether I get cancer again or anything else takes me, I am not afraid to go. I am ready to go." Much to my surprise, like many of you, that moment came pretty quick. The Lord took Shelley much earlier than we all expected. And so I know that the passing of Shelley and Stu is sad, and it is a time for mourning and grieving. That is totally appropriate. But know this, that they are at peace. They are resting in the arms of their Savior, and they would want you to know the same Jesus. He is their living hope.